This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Apparently, we're going to play Hour 1's opening music for Hour 2 tonight. I don't know why. It's Jewish producer Chris did it, and now I'm in a better mood again. Maybe we should just keep that rolling, Chris. It's Hour 2 of the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. We'll talk about visas. We'll talk about, well, flooding Boston with a new aggressive attitude on the right. All that email, so much more coming up. Oh, and I'd be remiss if I did not mention the news from earlier in the day that evil witch Letitia James, AG of New York, got that ridiculous judgment against Trump, $464 million, which was just the most egregious lawfare in the world. Today, that got struck down. Again, another reason to celebrate. It's a great day. It is a great day. Now, we played for you earlier Boston's mayor, Michelle Wu, that dirty communist that the Boston people of Boston made a terrible mistake and elected her, and how she's going to stand up to ICE. The response, I love the attitude change on the right. The response has been amazing. Headline, ICE to flood Boston after leftist mayor rejects Bondi's sanctuary policy demands. We have such a better attitude now. Such a better attitude on how we deal with these communists now. We have finally let go of this ridiculous fiction that we can point out their hypocrisy, or we can point out their bias, or we can point out their evil deeds and somehow change their ways. These people are religious zealots, and you must deal with them aggressively. You must be aggressive with communists because they only understand fear and pain. You are never, ever, 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 ever in a million years going to point out the communist's hypocrisy or bias or point to the evil things he's done and win him over or shame him because he's not capable of that. It's not humanly possible. I'll ask you again. I've asked it a million times. To this day, I've never heard one. We get 1,000 emails a day to this show. I've never had one response. Name for me the Democrat in your life, not the politicians and media people. Name the Democrat you know who watched Donald Trump get arrested and charged with crimes in several jurisdictions, cooked up crimes. Name the Democrat in your life who said that was wrong, who says today that was wrong. We shouldn't have used our power to arrest and imprison our political opponent. Nobody knows a single Democrat in the country. So if that's what you're dealing with, if you're dealing with somebody who can't bring themselves to at least say that, well, I guess maybe we shouldn't send the FBI to rifle through his wife's underwear drawer. If there's not a single Democrat to say that, then fine, it's not ideal. How do we deal with it? With aggression. When LA started to say, you can't come here, don't come here, we'll do protests. What did we do? We announced we were going to dig into the funding of these protests and send in the Marines. Fine, you have your protesters, we have infantry Marines. Let's see who wins that one. Boston's mayor gets up and says, no, not in my backyard. Oh yeah, in your backyard, we're now going to park it there. Did you see, it was a minor thing, it's not a big story, but Pete Hegseth and J.D. Vance, they went down to Union Station in Washington, D.C. to go look at how much cleaner it is now that Trump sent in the National Guard and they cleaned up all the crime in D.C. Well, when they were there, you know what? Actually, pause on that for a moment. Do you remember the Brett Kavanaugh hearings? Do you remember that worthless, effeminate loser, Jeff Flake? He used to be a senator from Arizona. Do you remember why Brett Kavanaugh almost didn't get through? We had all the votes, and then Jeff Flake wavered. Why did Jeff Flake waver? Because some communist street animal, obviously paid, some communist street animal woman pinned him in an elevator and started screaming in his face. You can go look at pictures and video of it to this day. And he's sitting there looking like he wants to crawl into the floor and die. Sheepish, afraid, looking down. And that, it's like throwing blood in the water for sharks. Because some animal screamed in his face, he was going to vote no on Brett Kavanaugh until he got threatened from within the GOP conference. He got threatened and he switched his vote back to yes. Now contrast that with J.D. Vance and Pete Hegseth walking through Union Station. Of course, there's another paid, probably, street animal there. Starts screaming at J.D. Vance, screaming at Pete Hegseth, making a big scene. And they both laughed at her. There's great video of it. There's a great picture of it. Of they're just, hey, look, they're both pointing at her, laughing. We have completely changed our mentality on how to deal with these savages. You must deal with them with aggression. With aggression. Yeah, by the way, if you want to follow the show, I have my own personal account on X, but there's also a Jesse Kelly Show account where Chris and Corey run it, and they put these amazing videos of me and other things. What, Chris? They put amazing videos on there. They're all of me. Anyway, we'll put the picture or video up on there if you want to go see it. It's wild to watch it. It's great to watch the mentality shift. You cannot deal gently with animals, with rabid animals. You have to deal with them with aggression. And we are changing that. Slowly, don't get me wrong. Slowly. It's not happening all at once. But I'll tell you what, I'll play something for you. This is going to be unrelated to anything we just talked about. This guy's name is Lewis Goodall. He's talking about inheritance taxes. One of the most egregious things in the world, that you pay taxes on everything in your life. And then when you die, the government steps in and sticks its greedy fingers in and grabs a bunch of your wealth before you can hand it to your children and their children. It's so wrong on so many levels. Listen to this.
I would not be against a far higher rate of inheritance tax than we have at the moment, which is 40% above a certain threshold. I wouldn't be opposed to putting that to 50%, 60%, 70%. Why? Because I think the quid pro quo should be twofold. One, that helps fund public services, which actually helps level the playing field in achieving a true meritocracy. Two, it will help us reduce taxes on income. Because at the end of the day, I want to incentivize work. I want to incentivize productivity. I want to incentivize people to get up off their backsides and do more. You don't have a right to inherit. You should have a right to be to work while you're alive and get keep more of your own money. That to me is more important, way more important than your right to just inherit some money from mommy and daddy that you did nothing to earn.
That's a thief. That's what all these communists are in the end. Dirty, filthy thieves. That's what they are. Ugly destroyers who feel entitled to what you have, who feel entitled to destroy everything good and wonderful. That's a filthy thief who feels entitled to what your parents earned. You have to deal with these people with aggression. Jesse, thank you for discussing the Northern POW camps. Oh, by the way, we did, in case you missed it, we did a history of Andersonville. It's the famous Confederate prison from the Civil War yesterday. It was an hour, a little bit more than an hour. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, if you want to download the podcast. Anyway, thank you for discussing the Northern POW camps. Between my husband and I, we have two grandfathers who died in different Illinois camps and two great-great-grandfathers who died in battle, all fought for the Confederacy. On my side, one died in the Battle of the Wilderness. None of these men owned slaves. They all fought for their constitutional freedoms. The South being destroyed, all these families moved to Texas afterwards. They left legacies of Christian duty in their new communities. I appreciate your honesty in the portrayal of history. I will always attempt to deliver history just as it was, not in these ridiculous, biased ways. And that's almost all you can find now are these dirty communists who have to present every single history story as America sucks or white people suck or, of course, the South, the Confederates were all Nazis and all these ridiculous things. Just talk about history. Put your biases aside. And look, I have my own biases. And I'm sure, look, you're not a moron. I'm sure you can hear them when they come through. I try to be honest about them, but I can't take them completely out of me. I do the best I can do when I talk history with you to deliver it straight. I will not always succeed at that. I am glad you enjoyed it very much. Now, how many people have visas are currently in the U.S.? And I'm not talking about the credit card. What is that number? We'll discuss that number in a moment. Before we discuss that number, you are going to be full of American patriotic pride by the time we're done with the next segment, just out of being completely grossed out by what our politicians have done. Maybe you should patronize companies who hire Americans. Have you thought about that? We should prioritize that a lot more. I should and you should. Pure Talk is a priority for me. It's a point of pride. When you make an effort like Pure Talk does, you know, they have all these customer service people. They're on the phone right now. You hire Americans right here in America? That matters to me. American families, American jobs. When I pay my bill with Pure Talk, which is half of what I was paying at T-Mobile, that money is going to Americans, and that matters to me. If that matters to you, maybe it's time to switch. Take you 10 minutes on the phone to switch. You switch during the break. Dial #250 and just say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Thursday, reminding you that tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So it's not often I get a headline that makes my eyes pop out of my head. This one did. This is from the AP. Trump administration reviewing all 55 million people with U.S. visas for potential deportable violations. How many? There are 55 million people with visas? Exactly how much? How much have we handed this country over to people who don't live here? Look, Jewish producer Chris crunched the numbers. That's 16% of the population. 16% of the population. Why is housing so unaffordable? Well, did you think those 55 million people were sleeping in cardboard boxes? No. They have apartments. They have homes. They have condos. Why is traffic so bad? 16%. 16% of the population. And I'm not saying you can't ever give a visa to somebody. I know there are work visas and student visas, and I got all that. That's fine. 55 million? Just how out of control has the United States State Department have been? How out of control is the United States State Department? I'm going to give you one. This is something you might not know that I actually found out today, and now I'm bringing it to you, you know, as a journalist.
It's Journalist Jesse.
There's just no one better.
We love Jesse. He's the best.
Jesse, please kiss my baby.
Jesse, 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 Jesse.
You know Xi Jinping, the communist dictator of China? You know where his daughter goes to college? Harvard. No, I'm serious, Chris. Chris is about to lose his mind. We took the daughter of the dictator who attacks us in every possible way, and we allow her, she may have already graduated, I don't know, we allow or allowed her to attend the most prestigious university on the planet. These people who, the people who have been running the United States of America, have bent over backwards and, you know, in Lindsey Graham's case, forwards to hand our country away to foreigners as fast as humanly possible. Doesn't that fill you up with rage? As fast as humanly possible, as fast as they could, they handed your country away to people who don't live here, who aren't invested in it, aren't loyal to it. Man, you know what? I need to do emails. It's going to make me too mad. I'm going to end up shouting. By the way, we have Congressman Chip Roy joining us 5 minutes from now. 5 minutes from now, 10 minutes from now, something. I don't know. I don't do time. That's Chris's job. Bronco Jesse, I'm a few months away from USPS retirement after 40 years of service. How about that, man? That's cool. I make world-class baked goods. My friends and colleagues there have enjoyed them and have offered to pay more. Should I risk a clandestine under-the-table baked goods operation or simply call it a career? Dude, don't retire. I mean, don't get me wrong, retire from the USPS. 40 years, you've done your job. I'm sure you've got, hopefully, I mean, it's government. I'm sure you've got a nice thing going on, nice retirement of some kind. Go rock your baked goods. I will tell you, I will warn you, though, I'm not. This is not me talking you out of it. I like a good baked good as much as the next man. The baked goods market, at least in my area, is a little saturated because women saturate it. These housewives, and by the way, I applaud them. If you're a woman who does this, I think it's an awesome gig. Women who end up, the kids go off to school, they have more time on their hands. Maybe they're just trying to make in a little extra scratch, make ends meet. Women will start baking things and selling them. You see it all over the place. And you know how I know this? Because Aub always feels the need to buy some. Well, we have to because Tina's making these special cakes. Why do we have to buy all the baked goods? She doesn't even eat the baked goods. And then I get yelled at for how bad I eat. Anyway, I don't mean to go off on a tangent. There are a lot of women making these baked goods out there because they're all over Facebook and everything else. So that's not me talking you out of it. It's warning you that the market, depending on how many women there are in your area, the market may be a little bit saturated when it comes to those particular baked goods. All right, now let's talk. Speaking of Xi Jinping, let's talk about China. Because we have a bribery problem in this country. China knows we have a bribery problem in this country, and it has infected a lot of things. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go talk to Chip Roy, and then when we're done with Chip Roy, we're going to talk about China bribing us, and then we'll get back to some more emails and other stuff. Before we do those things, let's get rid of your pain. Daily pain sucks. It's not a, when you open your eyes in the morning, and you're getting ready to get out of bed, put your feet on the floor. What's going to hurt when you do it? Your back going to hurt when you get up? What's going to have you going, oh, I know the noises. Yeah, I've made them. Why don't you try a supplement? A supplement. Put away the pill bottle. Stop just toughing it out. What if those aches and pains could disappear? Life happens. You're going to get pain. Relief Factor will remove it from your life. The longer you take Relief Factor, the better it works. It builds up in your system over time, fighting against that inflammation. Try it for 3 weeks. 3 weeks of it is just $19.95. Try it. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. That's less than a dollar a day. You might be able to remove the pain from your life for less than a dollar a day. 1-800-4-RELIEF. Relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. The week is almost over, and it does my heart well to welcome in my friend, Congressman, well, I guess currently, congressman from the state of Texas, Chip Roy. Hey, Chip, are you going to keep being a congressman?
Well, Jesse, great to be on the show. Yeah, I'll be in Congress for at least 16 more months, tormenting every soul I can in Washington, D.C., trying to. I think one headline today said I was a, quote, nuisance to leadership in Washington, which is I wear as a badge of honor. It's actually my job. But, yeah, look, that'll be the end of my fourth term. Can you believe it, Jesse? It's already been to be 8 years.
Wow.
And it's time. It's time to come home to Texas. So, yeah, happy to come home to Texas and take on the next chapter here.
Okay, well, I mean, we might as well just walk right through that door. What is this next chapter?
Well, I'll be running for Attorney General of Texas. We put out that announcement today. It's been a great response from people all over the state. We're, frankly, overwhelmed by all the outpouring of support. Obviously, a lot of support from my colleagues, people here at home, grassroots people in Texas. And look, Jesse, it's pretty simple. In fact, I saw you tweeted out something a little bit earlier where somebody, some idiot, was talking about how you don't get generational wealth if you have kids before you're 30. And you tweeted that, you know, the opposite is true. And in fact, the kids are the wealth. And, you know, when I think about our legacy, you know, I get hit by a train tomorrow, whatever. It's what we leave behind. It's our kids. I want to run for AG to be able to fight to defend the Texas that I know and that I love, the Texas that my grandparents lived in, the Texas that our forefathers fought for. You know, we're under assault in so many different ways. I want Texas to remain free. I want it to be the greatest state and the greatest country in the history of the world. And you need an attorney general with the ability and the desire to fight, but also to know how to win and to be unafraid to win. And that's why I'm coming back and running for AG.
Be honest, at least in part, you made this decision because the food in Washington, D.C. sucks. It doesn't even make any sense that a town with that much money has that crappy of a restaurant situation. You're just tired of eating there, Chip.
Well, look, every time I come home and I go to Matzo Rancho or I go to Maudie's or I go get some barbecue at one of the great barbecue places in Austin, you know, I'm reminded as to why being here is far superior to being in Washington, D.C. There's no question.
Okay, update us before you leave that place and become our next attorney general. Update us on Washington, D.C., on what's coming, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You're always very forthcoming with us about that.
Well, look, we obviously got through the big, beautiful bill, which I think was overwhelmingly a win. Now, obviously, I had some things with it that weren't exactly where I wanted it to be, but that's what I meant when I say you got to be unafraid to win. You got to be able to take things as you move the ball forward, you know, gain 3 yards in a cloud of dust. And we did that with the big, beautiful bill. The president's now, you know, taking on a lot of the great important issues of the day. His executive branch is acting. His OMB director, Russ Vogt, my dear friend, is doing great work. Scott Bessent is doing great work. I think the economy can now trend in the right direction. So now we just got to do our job and hold spending flat in September. And I think our Democrat colleagues are going to come in and try to rattle that shutdown. They want to try to pin that on the president. But the president's ready to do what we said we would do, which is hold spending flat, fund government the right way by reducing its size and scope. And so that's going to be the big fight of September. There's other things we're going to have to deal with. You know, I'm trying to get a stock trading ban for members of Congress. I've been leading on that issue for 5 years. I think we've got a bipartisan group willing to do that, and I want to lean into that fight. And then there's other things we need to finish up. We need to improve on some election integrity stuff like the SAVE Act that was my bill that we passed. And you know, things like that. But I think we're going to have, I'm hopeful that we will be able to deliver on a good bill that will keep spending flat and reduce it. But Democrats are going to fight us, no doubt.
Can we talk about this? Again, we're speaking with Chip Roy, Congressman Chip Roy, announcing his candidacy for Texas Attorney General today. Can we talk about this insider trading? Because this is one of those things. It's bonkers that it's still legal at all. Democrats do it. Republicans do it. It's obvious. The whole public can see that people are very clearly insider trading, which is illegal. And yet this is something that hasn't gone through yet. It blows my mind that such an easy win has eluded us.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, this is, again, I introduced this bill back in, I think, 2020. And I've had the most number of co-sponsors of any bill out there. But we've had resistance because you get a bunch of Republicans who go, well, I'm a member of Congress. I have a right to, you know, trade. I've invested, you know, my whole life. I've built up this stuff and whatever. I'm going, look, man, if your job, if you want to focus on day trading, then leave Congress, right? I mean, it's not a, you don't have a right to be in Congress. You're asking for that, honor to be able to go serve and represent the people. So my view on it is pretty simple. We ought to just, you know, if you come into Congress, you got your stuff, you know, keep it there, but you can't trade. You got to make it public and so forth. You can put it in broadly held mutual funds, that kind of thing. But we shouldn't be trading while we're voting on this crap. It's crazy. Like, how can you have an honest opinion about whether you're going to break up a big tech company or, say, a big hospital conglomeration or insurance company or Obamacare policies or anything else when you're trading the very stocks, or like if you're trading defense stocks and you're voting on all of the defense contracts? The conflict of interest is so high. So we should be in broadly held mutual funds so we can just be honestly up there doing our job. And if you don't like it, then leave. Like, people are going, Chip, you know, we need you up there. You've been fine. I said, guys, this will be my fourth term, 8 years. We don't like kings. Like, we don't want people who are there permanently. I've done my job up there. I'm going to come back. If they'll hire me for the job of AG, I'm happy to fight for the Texans here. But we just don't need people up there sitting up there in perpetuity, day trading and enriching themselves.
What's been the best part of the job? I know that you have not enjoyed your time there. Who would? But there has to have been some good things about it.
Yeah, no question. I mean, look, like working with a lot of my good friends in the Freedom Caucus to stand up, make some real changes. I mean, we've made some fundamental changes, things that you don't even really pay attention to. Bills that used to just fly off the floor, we blocked, and we now have a process for doing them the right way. Obviously, through the speaker's fight, we got more conservatives on committees. We now have more rational conversations about spending. We have made a real difference in Washington. But if you ask me what my favorite part of it all is, it's representing constituents. It's one of the reasons I would love to be AG, to serve all 33 million Texans, rather than just the 750,000 people that I represent in Texas 21. But going through the floods, Jesse, and going through what happened in Kerrville, watching the response of the people that I represent, the people of faith, the strong men and women that have served in our first responders and our men and women in blue, the law enforcement community that showed up, even some of my colleagues. I mean, you know, you had both Morgan and Marcus Luttrell were up there with others and their buddies out there with their diving equipment and trying to help people deal with the floods. And it was an outpouring of support that, I got to be honest, it was the final decision for me about running for AG, the ability to serve in an executive branch function to go help the people that I represent, to go fight for them. It gives me a lot of pride. There's so many good people out there. You know, government is a barrier to the otherwise great people that are the American people. And if we can just get government back into its limited role, serving people to do its basic job, then this country will always prosper. And so that's my goal.
Speaking with Congressman Chip Roy. Chip, before I let you go, what's our blind spot right now on the right? I know we're feeling pretty high right now. It feels like the communists are on their heels a bit, and that's a good thing. They are, but we're always missing something. What are we missing right now?
Look, I think to the extent that we have a blind spot, it's going to be if we don't do the common sense thing, some of which we've already talked about. Like, one, we should ban the congressional stock trading, right? That's common sense. Like, don't let the Democrats outflank you. We shouldn't get too arrogant about the whole redistricting process as the way for us to save the House. We should just keep leading. The House needs to, we need to be out there passing good legislation. We need to deliver. And importantly, we've got to deliver on the spending front. If we will hold spending in check this fall, then we will send strong signals to the market, and then we'll be able to get economic growth going in the right direction. But our blind spot is basically arrogance, right? Our blind spot is believing that Democrats are so crazy they can never get elected. We have to go earn those votes, and we have to earn the right for them to support us. And you do that by doing what you said you would do, and that's holding spending in check, continuing to secure the border. Do not even dance with anything remotely resembling amnesty. Continue to do the job we said we would do. If we go down the road of established Republicans, amnesty, big spending, right, those traps, we lose. If we'll go out and fight for the people that sent us there, we win.
Amen. Rooting for you. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you very much. All right. Hang on.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. Do not forget that tomorrow's an Ask. The pen banged off the microphone stand. Could you hear that, Chris? You could hear it? Does that mean the audience could hear it too? I can't do anything, Chris. It's a live show, right? I can't put the pen back. My hands are so big. It was the pen that, what, Chris? Anyway, don't forget tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in now to Jesse at JesseKellyShow.com. Also,
Chris, I forgot to tell you. Corey, I completely spaced telling you guys. I should have told you off air, but now I'm just going to tell you in front of everybody. I have exciting news. I'm a robe guy now. Did you know that? Don't roll your eyes. Why are you making that face, Chris? I'm a robe guy. I have a completely different outlook on life now that I have a robe. What happened? You know how I told you, Ob, it's like the worst thing in the world that could ever happen to you is letting your wife discover Cozy Earth? I already told you about that. One benefit was she does this to butter me up, to weaken my defenses. You know, that's women, don't think we don't know what you're doing. That's why God made women so hot. It weakens our defenses. She bats those pretty eyes at me, and then she'll give me a little something. She discovered Cozy Earth. She got me a bathrobe. Only I don't use it. I don't take baths, right? So instead of it being a bathrobe, it's just what I wear around the house now. When I get home, all clothes get dropped off immediately. No, not. I wear underwear, Chris. Why do you have to make it weird? I wear underwear, but my robe goes on. If you need me, if I have to take the trash out, I'll be in my robe. If I'm sitting there watching TV, I'll be in my robe. This morning, Ob went to go volunteer at the church or do something to give back. I only care about me, so I stayed at home. Kids were in school. Ob was gone. I cracked open a book in my robe. I'm a robe guy now. And now she's making all these threats. She's threatening that she's going to burn it or something if I go to the gas station in it. I'm totally going to the gas station in it. There's nothing that's going to stop me from doing that. All of her threats have fallen on deaf ears. I'm now a robe guy. And I don't understand why you're shaking your head, Chris. Do you have a robe? Do you wear it? You don't wear your robe? Well, you can't call yourself a robe guy if you have one and don't wear it. Corey, are you a robe guy? Corey's not a robe guy. I just see life differently than you two do, right? We robe people. We're, I don't want to say higher. I don't want to say higher, but definitely above you. Definitely above you. I don't want, what, Chris? I don't want, I'm not putting anybody down. But once you're a robe guy, you understand non-robe guys. They don't know what's up. They don't know what's up. You're missing out on life. You're missing out on life. By the way, a U.S. Navy sailor got convicted of spying for China. Just to let you know, that's like a really, really, really big deal. When you're in the United States military and you start spying on behalf of another country, he is facing the possibility of life in prison. Now, remember I told you a long time ago, I talked to a Chinese insider, not Eric Swalwell, a different one. I talked to you about what China, what they think about us as far as bribery goes. They think we're cheap. That it's cheap to buy Americans. It's cheap to buy our politicians, our universities, our military personnel. Would you like to know how much money China paid this gentleman for a life sentence? $12,000. $12,000. He sold out America, and very young man, will probably never see freedom again. Possibly never see freedom again. I mean, don't get me wrong. You can buy a lot of robes for $12,000. What, Chris? You can buy a lot of robes for that, but $12,000? Given the prices today, I don't think $12,000 buys you a Kia. You can't even get a car for $12,000 at this point in time today. What, Chris? What? No, he didn't sell out America for a Kia. He sold out America for a third of a Kia. $12,000. Combine that with this story. Eric Adams, Chinese staffer, says, quote, a culture thing made her stuff cash in a bag of chips for a reporter. It's just how they operate here. It's just what they do. Americans are cheap, and I hate that about us. And I don't mean like Chris type of cheap. I mean we just sell out for nothing, for absolutely nothing. It's crazy to me. Let's go save a baby's life before we do some emails. I am very pleased to tell you that you have saved thousands of lives already through preborn. The word on what preborn does has gone out. People now give in the name of other people. You know, I want to give in the name of my mother who died or a child we lost or the people are now giving from their inheritance. Yep. $28 buys an ultrasound. Maybe you've only got $8. Give it to preborn. They're giving an ultrasound to a woman who is about to abort her baby. If she gets that ultrasound, she'll choose life. Almost every time she chooses life, because once you hear the heartbeat as a mom, you can't kill your baby. You can lie to yourself and say it's not a baby, but a heartbeat, that's your baby. Go to preborn.com/Jesse and save a life tonight. Preborn.com/Jesse. All right? All right. Bronco, what is your recipe on Kraft Mac? I've discovered half and half is the key to Kraft Mac and cheese. No margarine garbage. All right. So I'm a bit of a Kraft Mac expert, if I may. And here's the solution. I don't do half and half, although I actually support your suggestion. I would. We usually don't keep it in the house because I don't drink anything with my coffee. I drink my coffee black like John Wayne intended. Anyway, with Kraft Mac, one, don't be afraid to add wieners. Remember, Mac and Wienies, you get some protein in there, but it's not required. Maybe you're not a wiener person. It's fine. Don't be afraid to add wienies. But regular Kraft Mac requires this. I think it calls for 4 tablespoons of butter. It's half a stick of butter. Drop the whole stick in there, or at least close to it. Three quarters of a stick at least. You don't have to double the butter, but the butter is the star of the show. A tiny, tiny, tiny bit of milk. I don't measure anything. The butter goes in the pan. Then I put the pasta from the strainer on the butter. I load it with black pepper. Your Kraft Mac has to be full of black pepper. Pour the cheese in. Then I just start mixing it. It's going, it's a sound. It's a sound it makes. And then just a dab of milk. That's all you need for creamy, delicious mac and weenie goodness. Trust me on that. We still have another hour. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.